And so are you. Thank you for joining us for another episode of the Stream Strategy Fantasy Hockey Podcast, brought to you by me, Cal, and that guy, Chuck.
What's going on?
How's it going, man?
It's going well. I'm getting amped up for the playoffs in fantasy hockey. How you doing?
Dude, I'm prepped.
You?
And I'm feeling a lot like Charlie from It's Always Sunny right now, as I have, well, my girlfriend can attest to this. Over the past few days, I have been rifling through this notebook, developing my optimized playoff strategy.
My goodness. You want the win this year, eh?
Well, I want the back-to-back. I think this year, especially in that keeper league,
yeah,
it's win or bust for me.
Pretty prime.
Because I've spent everything.
Yes, you have made a lot of moves since the start of the season.
And I think in the good fantasy hockey league that we started this year, I have a good roster to make a good run, but I'm starting to feel a little stressed out about I don't really have the blue chip players that I want, and I feel like I'm going to be leaning too heavy on the matching of Marchand and Bergeron, and let's say Boston just has, I think they have a good schedule, as we'll talk about, but I think, if they just go quiet, it could mean the end of me. So it's hard to put all of your eggs in one basket, even if that's what I'm doing. So let's just look at the fantasy hockey playoff preview. So over 4 weeks, the best teams to hold. Now I've decided to rank this based on the games, the off nights, and then favorable matchups. And the value of each of those categories is in that order. Obviously, the games is the most important. Then the off nights is the second most important. And then favorable matchups is just an extra consideration that can help make the difference between, you know, looking at here Tampa or Dallas. Now, I do have Colorado as the number one playoff schedule. Even though they have 13 games, the total range of potential for this playoff schedule, the total range of potential games is between 11 and 14. So 11 is on the low end and 14 is on the high end. And typically these teams where you're seeing the 14 games, unless they have an excellent schedule like the ones we're about to go through, they won't have as many off nights. So because Colorado has the second highest games available with 13, as well as five off nights, in addition to eight favorable matchups, I have them as my favorite playoff schedule.
Yeah, that's a lot of games to have for the playoffs with the five off nights. And getting that many favorable matchups, it's just ideal to stream players from this team. So I think that's a good ranking for them being number one overall.
Yeah, a consideration is that for a lot of these team schedules, there's some variance in terms of 1 week being great and 1 week being crappy. But Colorado has a pretty consistent good schedule for every week, and I really like their final week schedule where they have seven games as well as three off nights.
Yeah.
It doesn't really get much better than that. I think that is the best, if not the second best schedule for the final week. So Colorado is definitely up there. I would be looking to add players and keep an eye out for some more depth players that could maybe fit in as streamer options as well. Second is Tampa Bay Lightning. With 14 games, they have four off-night games as well as seven favorable matchups. Tampa, same story as Colorado. They're a good team and they have a good schedule consistent throughout the entire playoffs. Even though they have more games than Colorado, I have them under Colorado in terms of the ranking because there's one less off-night, and also they're kind of front-loaded. So the first week of playoffs, Tampa has four games, including four off nights, which is the best schedule for week one. But then in week two, they only have three games, no off nights. And in the final week, they do have seven games, which is extremely attractive, but again, no off nights. So I think that Colorado has more option to add some depth guys, like maybe Nichushkin and Burakovsky. You can find some value, the Taves, the Girards. Whereas like Tampa, unless you're really going to be getting a top guy that is 100% going to be making it into your roster above more depth guys, Tampa is just it'd be difficult to fit someone in for that last week from Tampa. So that's why I have them under Colorado.
Yeah, I hear you there. They also have only 50% of their games are favorable matchups, which is kind of crazy considering that this team is, you know, one of the favorites for the Cup this year. They got a bit of a tough schedule, while Colorado, over 50% of their matchups are favorable for them to be winning. So I like Tampa Bay. Obviously, they have a great schedule with the 14 games, 7 favorable matchups, but it's clearly not the ideal team to stream from.
So we've done all this research, by the way, folks. I've gone through every week and made notes or a listing, tagged off every single game, and off nights are built on the same formula as always. If less than half of the teams in the NHL are playing on any given night, we'd consider that an off night, because it's more likely that you'll be able to get stream in players for extra starts.
Yep.
What I have considered a favorable matchup is any game that I would reasonably expect the goaltender to come out with a W. In situations where it's challenging between like one great team or another, like let's say if Minnesota is playing Pittsburgh, neither of those teams are going to get a favorable matchup tally. But let's say Carolina is playing against Arizona. I mean, that's an easy favorable matchup tally. So that's simply the formula. It is kind of arbitrary in that sense, but like it's pretty consistent. It's not that bad.
Yeah.
So
yeah, no, it makes
I hope
sense
you can
me.
Find some value out of it.
I think it makes sense.
All right, third, the Dallas Stars. 14 games, 4 off nights, 5 favorable matchups. They also have one of the best schedules for the final week with 7 games, including 3 off nights and 2 favorable matchups. I really like Dallas here as a trade target. I really like going for guys who are maybe going to get those peripheral categories as well, but are certainly going to be power play deployment guys that can produce. And I think I'm going to be looking for the Robertsons and the Hints here. I would be willing to pay high on either of them, especially in one-year leagues. We're going to get further down this list, especially to the bad teams, and you'll start to see teams like Anaheim, Edmonton, and maybe even Vegas in some considerations, where, and New York Rangers, where their schedules are just so bad for the playoffs relatively to these other teams that their superstars are no longer worth as much. So if you're holders of Dreisaitl, McDavid, and Fox, you might be considering moving them out. And especially in one-year leagues where you're not doing any keepers, like it might be worth looking to try and find some of these underrated sort of sleeper players that I've kind of been mentioning so far. Taves, Girard.
Yes, I agree with you.
Robertson, Hintz. You know, not they're not underrated guys, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you will be able to make these trades, especially if managers haven't been looking at this depth of what the playoffs are looking like.
Yeah, and I mean, like, say you're a holder of Hintz and you get an offer from somebody that includes Dreisaitl being brought over to your team. Like, that's going to be really enticing to you to take a look at, right? And, you know, I expect that we will be seeing some offers that involve McDavid and Dreisaitl, as you were saying, just because the Edmonton schedule for the playoffs is very unattractive. And it just kind of puts me in a difficult position because in the keeper league, I'm a holder of Dreisaitl. And now I'm really considering if I need to find a different location for him or if I should just, you know, eat the bad schedule and hold him because he's clearly one of the best keepers in the game.
Well, right away, I would advise that for the keeper league, you look at holding Draisaitl.
Yeah.
And not moving him out because it's a keeper, so he's a long-term asset. But in a one-year league, you should definitely consider other strategies to try and push for the win. Okay. Next up, the St. Louis Blues. Pretty much the same schedule as Dallas, or the same structure in terms of 14 games, 4 off nights, as well as 5 favorable starts. The major difference is that St. Louis's schedule is more akin to the Tampa Bay Lightning in that it is front loaded. The St. Louis Blues have the second best schedule for the first week of playoffs. They have a great week 2 with 4 games and 1 off night, and then their week 3 you have 6 games, which is not as good as some of these other teams, and there are 0 off nights, which is definitely kind of annoying because now your guys like Robert Thomas, who are certainly rosterable and deployable players in most situations, he's not going to be on any of these off nights for that final playoff week. So now I'm just sure that if you're in the finals, a guy like Robert Thomas might end up on your bench. So for this reason, you know, in that final week, you want more of those off nights. I'd be looking at guys from the Avalanche over guys from St. Louis.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you. Also just feel that Colorado's in a better position to, you know, to just do better in games in general. But that might be biased because I am a fan and they have been doing very well recently.
Fifth, the Calgary Flames, 14 games, 4 off nights, 4 favorable matchups. Yeah, I mean, they're front-loaded. They have the third-best schedule for the first week, 4 games, 3 off nights. And then they have 7 games in the final week, including an off night, as well as 3 games for week 2. So I think this is like a pretty consistent schedule that's always pretty good.
Yeah.
Just that last week is kind of falling into the same situation as St. Louis. However, I do think that a lot of managers holding Calgary assets will be willing to move them. I know that in a few leagues I've seen Goudreau, who is certainly ranked higher than Patrick Kane, get acquired in that keeper league for around the same price that I got Patrick Kane for.
Very interesting.
I was thinking, damn, I should have gone for
higher
Goudreau because of this fantastic playoff schedule. Next up, we got Minnesota, 14 games, 3 off nights, 5 favorable matchups. They are good the whole way, but never great at any point, except for maybe the final week when you have 7 games and only 1 off night. Seventh, Boston Bruins, 14 games, 2 off nights, 5 favorable matchups. We're seeing a more front-loaded benefit to this schedule. The first week, they have those 4 games, 2 off nights, and then no off nights for the rest of the playoffs. So unless you're getting so this is clearly not a streaming schedule, but if you're a holder of like McAvoy and Pasternak and Marchand and Bergeron, this is probably fine because those are certainly players that will always get into your lineup on busy nights. But if you are holding guys like Taylor Hall,
yes,
or maybe Craig Smith or Grzelcyk after some of these recent pop-offs, you should maybe look to shift that value towards someone who will actually be getting you starts throughout these weeks, because I don't think that if you're continuing to move through the playoffs that a player like Taylor Hall is always going to be making your lineup on busy nights.
Yeah, I don't think he would be. I could name a host of players that I believe should be rostered over Taylor Hall if they had the opportunity to. So yeah, I'd be looking to move him for maybe somebody on Calgary or St. Louis who has the couple extra off nights there.
Next up, Toronto Maple Leafs, 14 games, 2 off nights, 6 favorable matchups. I mean, the reason I have their schedule underneath Boston is because I think Boston has a better final week, where Boston has 7 games in the final week of playoffs and you only see 6 from Toronto. Toronto also only has 2 off nights through the entirety of the playoffs. However, you are seeing 4 games on the first 2 weeks as well. So it's like a good high volume schedule, not very many off nights. kind of falling into the same situation. Good if you got the Tavares, Nylander, Marner, Riley, Matthews, right? But, I mean, I don't know if Kerfoot will be able to stand the test of this playoffs, and you should probably be looking to shift out someone like him while he still has value.
I'm on the same page as you there.
Okay, Nashville Predators, 14, the exact same thing as Toronto. 14 games, 2 off nights, 6 favorable matchups. 6 games in the final week, no off nights, and the same thing as Toronto for the first 2 weeks. So, literally the exact same story. Carolina Hurricanes, 13 games. So, we're kind of seeing they're on the lower side.
Yeah.
As well as only 3 off nights.
Wow.
However, they have 10 favorable matchups.
Wow.
Which is the most out of anyone here. So, I mean, yeah, that means something. That's something worth considering, at least. They are a little bit front-loaded. I had them as the 4th best schedule for the first week with 4 games, 2 off nights, and 4 favorable starts. Week 2, they have 3 games, 0 off nights, 1 favorable matchup, and then in the final week, they have 6 games, but 1 off night. So pretty consistent all the way through. Yeah. Week 2 might be a little difficult to get in your tro checks, to still see value in your tro checks and your natuses. Definitely not your natuses. But I could see if you try and go out for like the Svechnikovs and the Aho, that this is a great playoff schedule for guys like that.
Even like a Tony D'Angelo type guy might not be a bad idea to aim for in Carolina.
I like that a lot because I bet Tony D'Angelo won't be too expensive.
I'm also not thinking the price would be that high. Like as high as, you know, an Aho or a Svechnikov or something. But he'll definitely make your roster every night, assuming he's healthy.
All right. Florida comes in at 11. 13 games, 3 off nights, and 8 favorable matchups. The Panthers' schedule is balanced. I would be looking to try and add some of their top guys. I don't know if I see the same amount of value in the Sam Bennetts and the Mason Marchments and the Anton Lindells of the world. Same with Sam Reinhart, but certainly Huberto or Barkov, especially in one-year leagues. This might be a trade target for the McDavids and the Dreisaitls.
Yeah.
I would be looking at guys from Florida. They got 3 games in the first week, 1 off night. 3 games in the second week, 2 off nights. And then 7 games in the final week, no off nights. So it's a good final week. And yeah.
Yeah, honestly, it's the same thing as Carolina for me with Florida, is the favorable matchups, the high amount of favorable matchups that they have. And the Florida Panthers all season long, when they've won a game, they start running away with it pretty early on. And, you know, we just saw an 8-4 win over Columbus. Not suggesting that's going to be something you see all the time from Florida this year, but we have seen it fairly frequently. And, you know, guys like Carter Verhaeghe and Anthony Duclair, who are playing in the top 6 alongside Huberto, Barkov, and those guys, are probably going to have some lower value. So if you don't have the McDavid or Dreisaitl to gun for one of their top 2 players, Verhaeghe and Duclair, I think, are both great guys that you can settle with, and the ask will be much lower.
Yeah, I'm going to check myself real quick because you only get 1 more game with a Florida player than with an Edmonton player.
Right.
And you do get 3 more off nights, except I don't know if that's the difference between Dreisaitl and Huberto. Or McDavid and Huberto. Even though Huberto is certainly producing at that level
yeah.
right now in the NHL, I don't know if I would do it. Maybe you could. That'd make it certainly interesting. That's a strategy.
I'd love to see that just so I could watch how it unfolds for both teams, you know?
Yes.
Yeah. That's my piece for Florida.
Finally. Though. 12th. The San Jose Sharks, 14 games, 1 off night, and 3 favorable matchups. We got a little bit of a balanced schedule. They got 7 games in the final week, no off nights. Not a good first week schedule, 3 games, no off nights, and 4 games on week 2 with 1 off night. So overall, I'd be holding on to the Hurdles and Meyer. But I don't know that I would be going shopping for them particularly.
Yeah, I hear you. Those, like, they're obviously having great seasons, but I don't know if I'm prepared to give up a whole bunch to add them to my team. I just like the idea of somebody on Colorado, Tampa, Carolina, Minnesota, even Boston, more than I do one of those San Jose guys.
So that were our top 12 schedules for this upcoming playoffs, fantasy hockey playoffs. Those are what I would say are teams to hold players. Maybe even teams to look to, depending on how your team is composed, maybe even looking at these teams to try and maximize some starts. Charlie, can you take us into the off night and stream targets?
Yes.
These 5 teams have the most off nights and still have a significant amount of games.
Yes. So the first team to look at here is the Winnipeg Jets. They have 12 games with 7 off nights and just 4 favorable matchups. However, those 7 off nights are really attractive, especially when you consider guys like Dubois, Kopp, Connor, Scheifele, Ehlers, Stastny, Wheeler, all of these very skilled forwards that they have on their team that could easily fit into your roster if you have them on your team. And I just think that those 7 off nights is such a great opportunity. You're pretty much guaranteed getting any of those guys into your lineup if you have them. Following up on this list is number 2, the Seattle Kraken, who have 13 games with 6 off nights and 1 favorable matchup. Again, it's those 6 off nights that we're talking about here. Seattle also has a lot of value in their top line. This is more of a streaming team in my mind here, because guys like Eberle, McCann, Johansson, even Adam Larsson for hits, they all get great deployment on that top forward line, top PP, and I think the top defensive line for Larsson. So again, just with the 6 off nights, so much opportunity to get these guys to fit into your roster through streaming. I don't think you need to be making a trade for anybody on Seattle. I just don't think any of their players are worth that. Unless you can get a nice deal on, say, McCann or Johansson, who has been hot with McCann as of late. Third on this list is the Washington Capitals. They have 12 games, which is on the lower end of things for the playoffs. But the 5 off nights is very attractive. They have 4 favorable matchups. You might be targeting the Washington Capitals for some streaming. They have some great options like Martin Verhaeghe, Orlov. Nick Jensen was even a great streamer at the start of the season. Nick Dowd, Lars Eller, these guys all have potential to be streamers. And with those 5 off nights, it might even be worth, you know, gunning for a trade for somebody like Tom Wilson or Nick Backstrom. I just feel like Ovechkin is too much to trade for, and who knows if his performance is going to stay this well into the end of the season. I definitely think so, but we'll have to wait and see. Number 4 on this list is the Arizona Coyotes. Again, I don't recommend trading for any of these guys, similar to Seattle, but there is a lot of value here in players like Lawson Crouse and Clayton Keller. Arizona Coyotes have 13 games in the playoffs with 5 off nights, 0 favorable matchups for obvious reasons. Even their goalies, like Vemelka, has been outstanding just randomly. So throughout those 13 games, 5 off nights, it's good to look to Arizona to stream some players. And 5th is the Chicago Blackhawks. They have 12 games, again on the low end, 5 off nights and 3 favorable matchups. Just, again, a great team to target for streaming. You can get guys like Kirby Dach, Dylan Strom, maybe even Johnson if he's back and healthy, playing in the top 6 by that point.
Chicago has the best schedule for the final week of playoffs with 7 games as well as 4 off nights. 2 of them are favorable matchups. Now, you'll only get this after a first week with only 2 games, one of them as an off night, and then a second week of 3 games, none of them are off nights. So it is tough to try and make value out of that. As someone who holds Patty Kane, I am looking to keep it at that level. Whereas for the first 2 weeks, because Patty Kane isn't the center of the scoring on my roster, I'm not particularly worried, and I think he will be a very valuable asset for that final week when some of my other guys are having more of their off weeks.
I agree with all that. Some teams with bad schedules that we want to avoid for the playoffs. Kicking it off at number one with what I guess is the worst schedule for the entire playoff run for fantasy hockey is the Anaheim Ducks. This makes me sad because I'm a holder of Troy Terry in both the Keeper and the Good Hockey Fantasy League, so I might be looking to make some trades soon enough. But they have 11 games throughout these 3 weeks, two off nights, zero favorable matchups. That means your guys like Trevor Zegras, unless you're in a keeper, Jamie Drysdale, Getzlaff, you could probably be looking to move them out throughout the season, get some other pieces back that are just going to be giving you a lot more value, more starts. Number two, the Edmonton Oilers, who have 12 games, zero off nights, and zero favorable matchups. If you don't have McDavid or Draisaitl, I think it's okay to maybe put some of these guys up on the trading block and try to see if you can get some better, I guess, some more value from some other players throughout the league. Also, the LA Kings with 11 games, four off nights, and three favorable matchups. Not much to say about that. Vegas Golden Knights, 11 games, 4 off nights, 6 favorable matchups. Their last week is actually really good with 6 games and 3 off nights. So yeah, it's kind of tricky.
This is the
one.
Same story as Chicago, because Chicago almost makes this list of bad schedules to avoid, but you see those 5 off nights and the best schedule for the final week of playoffs. Vegas, and again, as we mentioned, you can only get to that final great schedule of Chicago after 2 really crappy weeks. And it's the same story with Vegas. The first week, only 2 games, 1 off night, both are favorable matchups, which is nice. The second week, only 3 games, 2 of them are favorable matchups, but no off nights. But then for the final week, they have 6 games and 3 of them are off nights. And that is pretty good. So I would not be looking to add anyone from Vegas. I would not be trading for Eichel. I would not be trading for Pacioretty or Stone. I would be maybe even trying to leverage those guys for value for someone like a Jason Robertson.
Yep, I agree with you.
So
even like a Kyle Connor, target some off
nights. If your team is heavily based around Vegas, I would be concerned, or Chicago, I would be concerned about getting through those first 2 weeks of playoffs when there's really not a lot. So something to consider for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Fifth on this list is the New York Rangers with only 12 games, only 2 off nights, and then 7 favorable matchups. I guess if you got the Adam Fox, Panarin, Zibanejad, Kreiders, you hold on to these guys. But outside of that, I don't know how many players you want to go to try and look at to pick up or stream from the New York Rangers. Just doesn't have, they don't have an optimized schedule for the playoffs. Even like Shesterkin, obviously you're okay to hold Shesterkin. He's the best goalie in the league right now. But anybody outside that list, you could probably be looking to move them out or to drop them and start preparing for the playoffs with some other players. Last on this list is going to be the Vancouver Canucks with 12 games, 2 off nights, and 4 favorable matchups. I don't have much to say about Vancouver. I'm not too big on any of their players outside of Thatcher Demko. And I just think Demko's too good of a goalie for me to look to trade. So, yeah.
Yeah, both Vancouver and New York they have good final weeks. New York, we actually see a balanced schedule the whole way through. 3 games in the first week, 3 games in the second week with 1 off night, and then 6 games in the final weeks with 1 off night. So it's not a horrible schedule, but it's also not a good schedule. Yeah. So I wouldn't be looking to add the Zibanejads, Panarins, Kreiders, Foxes. I would be looking to leverage those guys as value for trades on other teams with better schedules. I would be very concerned if my roster is heavily built around the Rangers. Yes. And the same thing with the Vancouver Canucks. Clearly, because the Canucks have a really bad week two where they only have two games. The week one is manageable where you got three games, one off night. And the final week is great with seven games and one off night.
Yeah.
But that week two with only two games from Vancouver where not a lot of their players are producing at blue chip stock point per game level, that is a really scary second week. So I'm someone that has both Elias Pettersson and Brock Besser in the Good Fantasy Hockey League, and this is very concerning. So I need, I'm looking to move them.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
I am not comfortable with having two of them on my roster for the playoffs. I think that's a recipe for failure.
Yep, I hear you there.
All right, this was a bit of a long one. We will come back with another episode looking at the week one review from April 4th to the 10th. We'll look at the schedule, team with good schedules and team with bad schedules for week one. We'll do another episode for week two and another episode for week three. This was the entire four-week playoff total review. For those of you that don't know, week three in the playoffs has 2 weeks in it.
That's incredible. They like to make it exciting, see those point totals get up high. All right.
Check out this text-based post on Reddit if you want to build up your own chart and figure out which days your players fit in. Essentially, what I do is I just write down every day of the week, and then I go through my roster and find out how many players I have playing on each given day.
Mm-hmm.
And then I look at the days where I have too many guys playing where they wouldn't be on the roster and they'd be on the bench. And I go, okay, that is a player that I need to trade. So even though Carolina is on the good schedule and we don't have New Jersey on anywhere here, which means they're middle of the pack, I've found that in the Keeper League, Charlie, both Jesper Bratt and Vincent Trocheck, would end up being on my bench for multiple games, and they have too much value for me to be holding them through the playoffs for that. So I've noticed, though, if I pick up players from Winnipeg, I get nothing but extra starts. So I noticed that you have Dubois and Kopp, who I'm confident will continue to play until the end of the regular season, especially if Winnipeg is pushing for a playoff spot.
I think they will be.
I'm kind of concerned about picking up a guy like Kucherov, where if the Lightning are just in a playoff spot in the final week, they're just like, take it off. Like, that's really not great. But I don't think that happens to the guys like the Robertsons or the Dubois. So I am thinking about trading you Jesper Bratt and Vincent Trocheck for Dubois and Kopp. And that way I will avoid both Trocheck and Bratt being on my bench for multiple games throughout the playoffs, instead adding a bunch. But that's just how it works with my particular roster scheme. So I highly recommend you all do this practice of writing down all the days, finding out how many players are playing relative to roster spots, and then making appropriate changes based on the provided information here.
I agree. That all sounds good to me.
We're on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Check out pucklegends.ca, and you can use the code GOODHOCKEY for free shipping.
Yeah, they got some good stuff on there.
Okay, we'll be back soon with a week one review.
All right. Adios, amigos.
Okay, bye. Peace.